You're listening to Max and Ivan's Sound Deals, an improvised podcast in which no one knows what they're selling until they're selling it.
You're listening to Sound Deals with Max and Ivan. Part of Incel, the Internet Selling Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to say welcome back to Sound Deals.
Wow, what a restorative.
No, I mean, the first one's a real word, the second one not so much.
Well, you see, I figured I had such a restorative 30 days.
Okay.
That I felt that restorative needed more letters.
More letters. Well, that's how words work, isn't it? The more you feel about something, you add just more letters to the middle of it.
I had such a wonderful restorative time.
That sounds extremely restorative.
Yeah, it was amazing. 30 days to just really recoup, center myself, you know, relax.
Now, when you say recoup, did you mean recuperate? Because in that instance, what you did was remove letters from the word, which makes it seem as though maybe, although you were very restored, you didn't recuperate well. I'm presuming there's a similar principle for words when, you know, if something doesn't, you know. Or did you mean recoup as in recouping money?
Can you recoup money but emotionally?
I think that is recuperating that you're talking about.
Cool. So language is a ride, isn't it, Max?
It is a ride, and I can't work out whether that's a long or a shorter version of a different word. But I'm glad you, as far as I can tell, had a broadly positive time over these.
Oh, mate, I had an amazing 30 days off. I've just been hanging out in a place that, well, I won't disclose, but is my ex-wife's mother's house.
And I've been hanging out in a place which I am legally forbidden from disclosing, but it is the brand new Sound Deals warehouse.
Oh my God, it's so different, but it's also very similar.
Yes, there's a similar atmosphere to it. Now, I am, and I'm still learning every day about the clauses and sub-clauses of the contract that I signed. It turns out I'm actually really not allowed to describe the warehouse at all.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I'm not
allowed. Am I allowed to describe it?
Yeah, you are. Basically, I'm not allowed.
It's a lot damper than the last one.
That's a way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what it is I'm not legally allowed to describe the warehouse in a pejorative sense.
Right.
Which is nice.
The fact that you can't describe it like that, or,
yes,
or the warehouse.
Well, I mean, listen, quite both either.
I'm just so excited to be on this side of things. Now, for the last 30 days, you've been testing out all the products that we're going to be selling to the Sound Deals listeners.
Absolutely. It's been my first time on this side of the line.
Woo!
And I've got to say, well, I mean, I can't say. What I will say is that if experiences make your life better, then I've had a lot of experiences.
Amazing. Oh, I can't wait to hear about all of those experiences. We've got some other great, exciting things to share with the Sound Deals listener that in a few weeks, they can come not to this warehouse because this is a secret location. And I mean, it smells quite bad, doesn't it?
It smells distinctive. There is an aroma. And that aroma will not be smelt, unless possibly, I mean, it does linger on my clothing. And whilst I'm not allowed to wash my clothes in running water, who's to say that that's even the best way of washing things? The point is, Sound Deals is very proud to be hitting the road for its first ever live show.
Oh, baby.
We'll be performing at the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival, and we cannot wait to see you there on the 6th of October.
I mean, it's going to be great. We're going to be selling products live to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be an auction, and will they be able to buy the products there and then?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, via the new method of auctioning. Yeah, obviously, up until now, it's literally just been, you know, the traditional method of purchasing. But why not, you know, why not tear up the rule book? You know, we'll be outside the warehouse for the first time recording. I'll have been outside. I've not been, I mean, listen, I have in many ways volunteered to remain within the confines of the compound. Well, if indeed it is a compound.
I just want to check. Don't you have to deliver the product?
Yes, I do. But legally speaking, when I leave the enclosure, I carry... They've actually made me stick little things to my feet, the same kind of... the same sort of industrial material which covers the surface of the right. floor of the warehouse is attached to my shoes. And therefore, legally, I'm actually never leaving the warehouse.
That's so clever.
It's an interesting loophole, and it is, I'll say, a good loophole.
That's so clever. And are they still supplying the bicycle with which to chain yourself to?
They're supplying the directions for constructing a bicycle that you then chain yourself to, which I think is a sort of kind of, I mean, it's a much more streamlined and you know, much less labor intensive for them system. So yeah, very very kindly on my first day of arriving, having enthusiastically signed this contract as I was, you know, reading through some of the opening kind of chapters, pre-chapters and appendices, and kind of, you know, the forward bit, translating it out of the various languages it was in into English, getting my head around it.
They love a different language, don't they?
They do. And they don't love the English language. But I'm having a great chance to learn all sorts of different bits. There's some stuff in the dead language of Aramaic, which I'm finding it very useful to learn.
It's alive now.
It sure is. It's alive and kicking in my book, and it is a big book. And that book is the contract, which I'm working my way through. Yeah. Not to try and escape it, of course, but just to get a sense of all the things I've agreed to.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Because I certainly never did that.
No, I know you sort of slept on it and kind of clothed yourself in it until it was eventually all gone.
And it was gone.
Yeah. But yes, no, at some point, a cloaked figure just slid the directions under the latch. And that was as soon as I'd constructed the vehicle that was kind of, you know, that was on the diagram, I was able to go about my business and start delivering products to the listeners at large. And it's been a real treat. I've been getting my exercise in. I've been seeing people, albeit briefly, because they keep you on the clock.
Oh yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about your adventures, Max, your upcoming ones. But also, I can't wait to spend some time with some amazing Sound Deals listeners. Hopefully, we'll be selling them the products that they suggest to us, because that's the best way of selling something to someone.
So you're going to be spending time with these listeners?
Yeah. Well, at the Cheerful Earful live recording of Sound Deals on the 6th of October.
6th of October, absolutely.
But also afterwards, if you guys want to hang out, we'll have some drinks. You guys, if you want to come back to mine, well, it's not mine, it's my ex-wife's mother's place. It's quite small, but she makes a great mezze. So if you fancy that, then come along.
Mezze with the mother. Former. Yeah.
It's I just found myself with a lot of free time recently, and I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and the same really for me, but just sort of in reverse.
Yeah. Well, how about we get stuck into our first product?
Let's do it.
The Bat Bath Bag.
The Bat Bath Bag. Yes, the triple B.
The Bat Bath Bag, as I would say.
Rediscovering your northern roots.
Well, no, they've always been there.
I suppose so. Your accent, when you were living in the warehouse, it kind of took on us. It sort of came slightly detached from geography.
Yes, well, I mean, I just developed a bit of a screech to kind of...
Well, it kind of countered the echo often.
Yeah, well, mainly to try and get those metal rats to stay away from me.
Yes, whereas, you know, the joke's really on you because there are no metal rats in this warehouse.
No, there sure aren't. This place is far too damp for any living. Yes, the metal,
they would simply rust if they tried to make their way in.
The metal rats were made of metal.
Yeah,
I thought they ate metal.
Yeah, well, they ate metal, which then kind of constituted,
which is
their...
why they became so big.
Yes, yeah. It's simple science. I'm pretty sure that's how it went. And it's not simply the many very fragrant fumes that happen to emit from a vent near where I sleep.
Well, guys, I'm just so excited to find out more about the Bat Bath Bag, because obviously this is a product that you've been testing for the last 30 days, Max, and
yeah.
One that I actually don't know that much about. But this, what I do know, is that it's a listener product. So thank you to... Connor the Dweeb.
Thank you, Connor the Dweeb. And thank you from the bottom of my heart, because Connor, not only was this the first product that I had the honor of testing for a solid 30 days here in the brand new Sound Deals warehouse as part of my new contract, it was also a wonderful means of keeping clean, which doesn't happen to be, as you know, Ivan, necessarily a feature that the team sort of put in place of their own volition.
No, they let you figure that one out.
And figure it out I did, with the help of B-Cubed, the Bat Bath Bag, Triple B. None of those things are what it should be called, other than the Bat Bath Bag. They are very clear about that on the
packaging.
Can
I call it the Bat Bath Bag with my accent?
I think you maybe need to write in.
Right.
To the team.
To what? Sounddeals@maxandivan.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And double check any of the small print.
I mean, okay. Yeah. So if you do have any queries, please do send an email to sounddeals@maxandivan.com. And if you have any products that you'd like to suggest, just like Connor the Dweeb did with the Bat Bath or Bat Bath Bag, then please do send us an email.
Yes.
And we'll get finding that product or making it. I don't know how it works, to be honest.
Let me tell you, I had a query on day two of using the Bat Bath Bag, which was, how on earth do I stop all this blood rushing to my head? Because basically, the Bat Bath Bag is a solution for the cleanliness-focused gentleman who has little space but does have access to a rafter or something that they can dangle off.
And who doesn't, really?
Well, I certainly do. I may be cash poor, but I'm rafter rich here in the warehouse. The Bat Bath Bag, it's, to the uninitiated, it's a bag. But to those who know a little more about it, it is a, well, if you look a little closer, one's ankles fit through the edge of it.
Oh, okay, I see.
And there's a little sort of noose that the ankles go through.
Yep.
And then the noose simply loops around the rafter of your choice and then fastens itself back on very, very ingeniously to your own ankles. So you're being held up by your own ankles in conjunction with the noose. And the Bat Bath Bag just droops comfortably around you. At which point, it's simply a case of reaching, I want to say forwards, but many, many people on the floor would describe that as downwards.
I'm sure it's very disorientating once you're upside down.
Initially, yes. And then you basically, you zip it up and off you go.
And sorry, when you say off you go.
Off you go.
It's a cleaning product, did you say?
Well, in a sense. I mean, basically, what the Bat Bath Bag does is create an environment in which liquid is created. So if you don't have access to running water, but you would like to clean yourself in a way.
I see.
And because of the added vigorousness of the dangling process,
yes,
your body generates more liquid than it might otherwise.
How amazing.
So
clever.
Absolutely. So within the first 10 minutes, let me tell you, it was pretty toasty in there. And as time went on, It only got more so. So my ability to use that, use that ensuing liquid to scrub myself clean whilst dangling, as I'm sure you've gathered, in the style of a bat. That's where that comes from. Only grew exponentially as time went by, and time really did go by.
I don't know if you're aware of that experiment with glasses that turns things upside down, and then after a while your eyes adjust,
yes,
and then turn the world upside down so that it's the right way around.
Yes.
But when you take the glasses off, everything is upside down.
Yes.
Did you find yourself, because I feel like for the first few days after the 30 days of doing the bat bath bag,
yes,
you were slightly discombobulated when not in the bag.
I had to get back in the bag. Obviously, the bag had been taken away from me by the Sound Deals team. So I was having to fashion sort of similar things from bits of kind of industrial equipment that I could find around the place to replicate that sensation. Because I did become very attached to the bat bath bag. It's a visceral experience, and it's one that you may find yourself missing, if not emotionally, then you may have at least become physically dependent on it by the end of the process. Because you mentioned the glasses which flip your world upside down. Mm-hmm. That is child's play. The bat bath bag is a really deluxe experience when it comes to being discombobulated. You're upside down, you're zipped in total darkness, and you are dripping sweat directly into your eyes.
Yeah. Now, you did manage to fashion your own bat bath bag out of an IKEA bag, two ratchet straps, and a load of cellophane.
Yes, I'm very blessed.
But we would recommend, obviously, that people don't try that at home and buy the official product.
Absolutely. It didn't touch the sides, or rather I couldn't touch the sides because the IKEA bag was too wide. And one of the great things about the bat bath bag is that it just locks you in nice and snug.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's not tested it, it does look like it's the size of a bat.
But
does it stretch? I presume it stretches the material.
Well, do you know what? It's hard to say because perspective is a thing that it's very... I mean, listen, I think in a very mundane visual sense, perspective is tricky to acquire when you're there. But from a much broader philosophical sense, I had a great deal of perspective whilst I was in there. I think, you hear about CEOs and tech bros taking DMT at Burning Man and having these transcendental experiences that seem to last for many, many hours, but only last 5 minutes. I had an experience that seemed to last years and years, and actually only lasted for 30 consecutive days.
Well, how about that? Were you in the bat bath bag for 30 solid days?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think so.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, what I did was I put myself into it.
Yeah.
At which point I realized a number of things, but chief among them was that I did not have a means of extricating myself.
Goodness.
Nor did I have a means of communicating with other people.
Mm.
So what I did have was a real opportunity to be at one with myself, with my thoughts, with my plans for the future, and with the liquid that was gradually filling the sack.
And obviously you are upside down and gravity.
So it does come, it comes at you mouth first, it comes at you nostril first, and you might not think this is an issue, but it does come at you eye first. But as you'll know, if you've had a look at the instructions, you are permitted to drink the liquid in the bag.
And how often did you find yourself having to drink the liquid?
I divided it up into what I came to think of as meal times.
Of course. Did you take any snacks into the bag with you?
In my haste to experience the first product here, and the haste partly came from me, partly came from the masked Sound Deals associates who were helpfully kind of forming a wall.
Yeah. They've got cattle prongs now, I noticed.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I just popped myself in and off I went. I zipped myself in, and at that point I did cast my mind ahead to things such as meals. But as I say, for me it was a case of initially I had about sort of five meals a day.
Wow.
And then as the month progressed, it sort of reduced down to sort of a meal-let, or sort of half a meal every 3 or 4 days.
Well, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
so you've heard of intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
I would describe this as very sort of intermittent fasting.
Well, for all of those Sound Deals listeners at home who want to maybe experience a retreat, but maybe don't have the finances or don't want to get away from their house, they can just pop the bat bath bag up on a rafter or just anywhere high up. Get on in and do make sure that you've got somebody there to help you out.
But if you don't, it turns out that the ankle noose does fall off of its own accord at around the 30-day mark.
Oh, fantastic.
Peanut Gate.
Peanut Gate. What an exciting, exciting product.
Peanut Gate. We absolutely loved Peanut Gate. Peanut Gate isn't so much a product as it is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lifestyle. It's a sort of branding opportunity. And it is sort of, you know, a way to become an influencer, not just on social media, but in your day-to-day life. Gate, of course, referring to the way you walk. And peanut referring to the product that you are required to sell via that walk. It's a brilliant and innovative initiative from the peanut industry, or Big P, as they refer to themselves. And I was simply given some... Given some branded clothing.
I was wondering about the walk.
Did you see my? You must have spotted it.
It. You know what? It's hard not to spot. From someone who maybe doesn't know what the Peanut Gate is, but you know,
there can't be many because it's sweeping the nation.
I guess it's like those social media challenges, you know.
Yeah.
Some people, they don't know what's going on and they just think someone is, you know, eating a spoonful of cinnamon dangerously.
Yes, of course. In fact, it was a piece of important social behaviour.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But this, the Peanut Gate, now that I know what it is, it's very obvious. And I guess what's lovely about it is you can instantly recognise somebody else who's taken on board this this opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you can hear, listeners, the Peanut Gate walk, it raises awareness, not necessarily initially of peanuts, because it seems Ivan didn't really know why I was doing it.
No.
But I think it's fair to say that in a broader sense, awareness was raised.
Yes, yes. And I do love the branded clothes that come with this.
Yes, absolutely. Now you'll know that the peanut clothing that I was wearing... I say peanut clothing because it's not clothing with the design of a peanut. I think we're all familiar with the pearly kings and queens of old London town. I think that's fair to say.
Yes, of course.
We love their work. They stand in pubs and I think they sing.
They're generally, wearing black flat caps and black... waistcoats,
yeah, jackets, emblazoned,
everything adorned with pearls.
With pearls. And they are, again, raising awareness. No one's really clear why. But we know what they do, and they're generally seen as...
Are they raising awareness for pearls?
It's possible. They might be. It might have been Pearlgate. That might have been where the peanut industry got its idea from. But I don't wish to speculate. If you can imagine the Pearly Kings, they're wearing black outfits and they've got emblazoned with pearls. Peanut Gate, very, very similar. It's just basically a case of peanuts hot glued to a body because that's easier. And the gait that you walk with, the distinctive walk, is a result, really, of the glue situation, which is effective. I have to say, it's just so effective. The peanuts stay on. The peanuts stay on.
Now, are they... Just for the listener at home, are they the peanuts in their casing, or are they shelled peanuts?
They're shelled peanuts. The peanut industry does not accept peanuts in their casing as peanuts. They are referred to as monkey nuts,
they are
a competitive set. They're a different
okay,
brand.
Sorry.
And I would like to disavow any affiliation with monkey nuts hereby.
So you buy the peanut gate in a pack. You will get
big old glue gun.
A glue gun.
Yes.
5 kilos of peanuts.
Shelled.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
And
basically a little instruction book.
Yes.
Which is glue them on. Off you go.
And the walk is from the from how you glue. Do they say exactly where you should be gluing, or is it up to you for the design that you might want to choose?
Well, I mean, one of the slogans is "Where you glue, it's up to you," which is both a really nice way of them allowing you to explore your creativity, and also I think for the peanut industry to absolve themselves of any responsibility because I would say, you know, glue gunning is not for the faint-hearted. I learned a lot about the heat of glue and the way it interacts with human skin. So you're learning crafts as well as taking on this lifestyle.
It's so great. And what I also love about once you're adorned with peanuts is you are attracted to by pigeons.
Well, quite. Attracted to by pigeons? I was attracted. I attracted two bisexual pigeons, which I had one on each shoulder. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, it's a heady time again. Not only are there fumes near the vent where I sleep, but also obviously the glue itself. Normally they send a sort of inert glue without any kind of industrial chemicals.
Oh, okay.
They just didn't have any in stock at the time.
Of course.
I think it's still in development.
It's a popular... Oh, right. It doesn't exist yet.
Not yet, no.
That's why it wasn't in stock, yeah.
Yeah. The idea is popular. very popular. But they wanted to... very kindly wanted to get it out. They wanted to rush me out.
Of course. And for those Sound Deals listeners who are buying the Peanut Gate, once you have hot glued the peanuts to your body, please don't eat the peanuts.
Oh, goodness me. I learned that the hard way. I learned it very quickly. Yes. No, it was, it was the end of the first day. I spent most of the day adorning myself. Mm-hmm. I felt quite a sort of artistic, creative manner.
I would say it looked a bit like a pajazzle.
Yes. I mean, that's where I started because just for reasons of decency.
Or maybe a very eccentric figure skater.
Yes, I think there was something of that aesthetic about it.
That's what I. I got to
the end of the day. I befriended these two bi pigeons who were on each shoulder. And
how did you know they were bi? Sorry.
Because other pigeons flew past, and they expressed sort of interest in both male and female.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the female pigeon is sort of a dowdier creature than the gaudier plumage of the male. And these two seem to be kind of omnivorous in their appetite. Unlike me, because when I attempted to sate my appetite with one of the nuts on the outer extremity of the pajazzle, which was the area I'd been working on,
mm-hmm.
I neglected to consider the glue element. I mean, looking back, why I hadn't entered the vast bag of peanuts that I was using and felt that I needed to. I think I was on the other side of the warehouse. It's pretty vast, as you know.
It is.
And I was trying to escape the overpowering smell of the glue.
I know some Sound Deals listeners will have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. Mainly, if they are purchasing this,
and they should.
And they're receiving peanuts and glue in which they should put on their body.
Yes.
But it's to advertise.
Yes.
Peanuts.
Yes.
Why are they paying for this when really they are advertising a product for someone else?
No, what they're doing is getting in on the ground floor of an extraordinary money-making opportunity.
Oh,
Because obviously, hello. what you become is a walking billboard for the peanut industry, which in and of itself, I think we can all agree, is a joy. I think we all enjoy peanuts, and
unless you're allergic,
yes. And the peanut industry would like to make it clear that that's an incredibly small proportion of people, and many people who believe they have peanut allergies are often allergic to dust motes or other things in the house, and not peanuts themselves. Anyway, but not only that, you are likely to attract attention as you walk down the street.
Yes.
At which point, all you need to do is share your PRC, your peanut reference code, with the person in the street. And if they purchase any peanuts or peanut-containing items...
Like within, peanut butter,
yep.
Snickers.
Yes, indeed. Then they use that code, and that happens within the hour...
So, who do they give the code to?
Anyone in a shop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then you are entitled to, I think it's 0.756% of the cost of their transaction.
Wow.
So it's perfectly straightforward.
So you could make a pretty penny.
You certainly could, and I almost did. It almost added up to that, I think. It has to be a round number and then you cash it in, unfortunately.
No, well, that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's just how money works. But yeah, it's perfectly straightforward. You see someone in the street, they clock you. Unfortunately, obviously, I don't have any pockets. So there's no real way of, writing. So I would simply go, hello. I think if you like what you see, then remember me. My PCR is... EC3100459 #222252 57:B:21.
Love it. And I see that you tried to make a peanut QR code on your chest.
I'm so glad you could tell what that is. Yeah. That was because obviously I crumbled some of the legumes, not nuts, as the peanut industry would like to remind people. I had to crumble them up and glue them, and I actually sort of used my chest hair to kind of mat it in slightly to add a bit of light and shade. Mm. And that was actually what attracted the pigeons, because it was the crumbs. The crumbs are sometimes more alluring because it opens up some of the famous, the famous peanut oil, which is so fragrant and well loved.
We know pigeons love crumbs from our product from Tom Parry in season one, Crumbed Linen.
Exactly. If you think they enjoy crumbed linen, yeah, they go mad for crumbed peanuts and chest hair, and indeed bits of chest flesh. It appears. So yes, the QR code wasn't successful. What was successful was me making two fine feathered friends.
Wow, great. Does the QR code scan at all, or it just doesn't go to any website?
Well, because because of the interaction with the pigeons, because of the slight kind of blood and subsequent sort of scabbing over and moving it around, it is a QR code, but it unfortunately just goes to the Wikipedia page for the country of Uruguay. So it's been lovely kind of raising awareness of that as well.
Great.
For any, because actually, to be honest, quite a lot of people have been taking photographs of me, because for this, I was allowed out into the world. Because
yeah, amazing.
Part of the product, you know, it's a bit like the monkey's paw wish, really. You know, I so wish I could be outside in the world. I am, but obviously I'm just hot glued peanuts to my genitals and chest. I have no real money, and the peanuts that I do have access to are effectively poisonous. And I am being followed wherever I go by these two pigeons with all that entails.
And very quickly, this commission that you make, where does the money go to?
Well, as I say, I didn't actually make the full penny that I was building up on. So it's hard to say. I believe you are given an account. And then all you need to do to claim your money is go to the peanut cash desk.
Yes.
It's somewhere in the world. I've just been given some kind of, what are they called? Coordinates.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be in this country.
Oh, okay.
But you basically...
Exciting.
Yeah, exactly. You get to that desk. I think it's got quite specific opening hours as well.
Sure.
And then... Well,
someone's got to man it.
Well, exactly. And then you queue up. And then you give them that PCR number.
Yes.
And that's when they give you a token. You return home, and then in 3 to 5 working days, they phone you up and they tell you a date at which point you can then return to the cash desk and just pick up your cash.
Oh, so you give them the token, which they will then exchange into cash.
Yeah.
Great. Well. The peanut gate can be yours today. Don't just hot glue any old peanuts to yourself.
No, no, no.
Please sign up via Sound Deals to get the specific peanuts for your body for a mere £50 today.
See you out there, gators.
It's time for Brandbassador, where we're joined by an extra special guest who's vlogging something cool.
Good grief, is it Brandbassador o'clock already?
It sure is, Max. My favourite time of the week.
Oh, time flies when you live in a warehouse. And
does it?
It's more that you lose track of time,
right.
rather than it flies.
Of course it does.
In many ways, days sort of stretch out endlessly. But also, I'm thrilled that it's Brandbassador o'clock. It's come round again real soon, and I couldn't be more excited about who's joining us in the warehouse today.
Yeah, we've got such a special guest for you, Sound Deals listeners.
Yes, indeed. You're in for a treat. He is a stand-up extraordinaire. He's a podcaster extraordinaire alongside Pappies. And he is a radio host extraordinaire alongside Ed Gamble on Radio X. But it transpires that he is also a formidable business mind. I'll say it. Extraordinaire.
Absolutely. Welcome to the Sound Deals Warehouse, Matthew Crosby.
Thank you so much. Can I just say that you gave me an intro that I would describe as extraordinaire. If I have to sum up in one word, you guys are introducers extraordinaire.
Statistically, that was the word we used, and thank you so much, Crozzers, for that thanks extraordinaire.
Hey,
it's so wonderful to have you here. But yeah, to be clear, despite the many strings to your bow, you are here in your capacity as an entrepreneur and businessman.
As a business person, that's right. Yes, indeed. Yes, I'm doing my best to branch out. You know, the thing is, you've always got to have a side hustle these days, especially when you work as irregularly as I do.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir there, Matthew. I also have to perform in the Sound Deals choir for the team.
Thank you very much for bringing two members of the choir along. Yeah.
Yes. No, that's fine. We've got to rehearse later.
Well, I'm surprised you're not wearing your little cassocks that I know you like to wear and holding a little candle. You know,
I wish I was. The cassock is because they actually wash the cassock, so it's the only truly truly clean item of clothing that I get to wear. But no, that's only if I sing particularly well, and the two silent choir masters that you can see looming in the corner didn't deem my last week's input good enough.
So is it true that if you don't sing well enough, you get de-cassocked?
Yes, yeah, yeah. You get decassocked.
And by the choir master.
It's quite brisk. Yeah, one of them decassocks you and the other one just basically watches.
Sounds painful.
Yes, but let's not focus on that. Let's focus on that's for me to deal with later in the day.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Let's focus on positive things.
Absolutely.
Such as the wonderful new product which Matthew you're bringing to the good people of the Sound Deals warehouse.
I'm delighted to show it to you. Yes, yes.
Yes, before we launch into that product, let's hear what it is.
CatLab 94.
Well, some of you will, of course, know that a couple of years ago, I brought out CatLab 93,
and
it was a huge success. It was a little science lab that I created for cats to play and learn, crucially, and yeah. learn. And it was based around the events of 1993. A lot of them sort of listening to records by Suede, that kind of caper. But
it was
also
a seminal time in British culture.
It truly was. It truly was. The people were still recovering from the heady days of Italia 90, but we hadn't yet got the Britpop wars of 1996. So it was right in the middle of quite a crucial period. So it was cats dressed up in the baggy shirts that you might you might imagine that also sort of doubles as a lab coat. So baggy shirts and listening to a little bit of teen pop. I would say the New Kids on the Block or something like that. They would be listening to that.
But Matthew, this is CatLab 93 and CatLab 94. My goodness.
Very different.
It's
very
a
different.
A huge difference because, of course, Friends is on the television. So yes. So what I've realized is that cats and they're famously social animals. You put two cats together and they get along like cats and cats.
Could they be any more social?
Could they meow any more social is what we like
Lovely.
To say.
Yes.
So the idea behind CatLab 94 is it's a science lab where they work on sort of basic experiments, but through the prism of the pop culture of 1994, which for me, I always thought 1993 was the best year that culture ever had to offer. But I've gone back with some of my scientists and we've chatted about it, and it turns out no, 1994
was 94. 94 was the one.
That's the year.
Absolutely,
it was the year. Yeah.
Now, it'd be great to tell, obviously we know all about it, but it'd be great if you could share with our listeners a little bit more detail about these experiments that the cats are conducting.
Well, here's the thing about cats is they're fast learners. Sure, they're lazy. You know, they sleep 18 hours a day. But if you give them a Bunsen burner, a test tube, a little bit of lime water, you know, a stick that you can stick in the Bunsen burner, all of that kind of stuff, they're gonna create some pretty exciting potions. A bit of magnesium and throw it into a bit of boron, and you know who knows what might happen. And the thing is, I've always been a big believer in the old adage of if you give 100 monkeys 100 typewriters, eventually they'd come up with the works of Shakespeare. But I believe if you give 6 cats that you've themed around the characters from the TV show Friends a lab, eventually they will cure some of the major ailments of our time. I'm not saying they're going to come up with a new, even more effective vaccine, but you know, we've got our paws crossed for that.
Absolutely, we have our paws tightly crossed and our tail tied in a hopeful little knot. It's conducting incredibly necessary research, and we do live in the sure and certain hope that these 6 cats in between obviously their 18 hours of sleep and then half an hour of kind of whimsical, kind of nostalgic misadventures related to their intrapersonal relationships and the heady modern dating scene, make vast leaps forward in the world of medical research.
This is what we're hoping, and the great thing is, obviously science is massively, hugely defunded at the moment, and if we can outsource it to other species, not just humans. Now, people say, "Is this animal testing?" No, it's animals testing.
Testing.
That's a
different. Yes.
It's a real distinction. Well, I'm not. Yeah. I'm literally. I don't touch the products. Once I stick the cats in the small cardboard lab, I literally leave them. I go away for the length of an episode, so 18, 19 minutes. I come back and I see what they've come up with. Yes. I mean, if they choose to test these products on each other, so be it. But I think animal-on-animal testing is fine, in the same way that human-on-human testing is fine. As far as I'm... You know, I'm not a scientist. My cats are.
yeah. No, they are... They're testers, not testees.
Exactly.
I think,
exactly.
That's what we're... That's the message.
Now, it's not just six cats. Obviously, there's six cats that you might have.
That's right.
But this is a product for Sound Deals listeners to buy, to purchase, and then to use on their own pets. Now, Max, you had this product for 30 days to test out yourself.
Yes. Now, I thought you would... I'm glad you're asking me about this because, yeah, how does one test out a small cat laboratory for 30 days? Well, I'm here to tell you. And I lived in that small cardboard box with all six.
I can't help but feel you slightly misused the products. But that's okay. That's all right. Yes. To Max's credit, he did live like a cat. He wore no clothing apart from a collar. He learned to lick himself very intimately.
Absolutely. And, never been cleaner.
yeah. And for some reason, the cats all smell fine, but you smell like a drain. What?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's a number of reasons. I think one of the key ones is that I confess that I did start to lose a grip on my faculties because the cats quite quickly realized that they could test the majority of their highly experimental products, you know, medicines, potions, to use your word. Lotions and potions, really on me. And test they did. Because of the size of the cardboard box, I was kind of just sort of, I couldn't really move around. I could
wedge myself into a corner. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wedged into a corner and the angle did make it was useful for licking oneself, but little else. So I got in there and for 30 days I lay nude, wearing a collar, attempting to lick myself with a bell. But realistically, mainly the cat just kind of dripping their various potions into my mouth and eyes.
Well, I've got to ask you now, how do you feel?
I feel fantastic.
Well, there we go. This is what we wanted to hear. So it turns out that and there were I believe you had six cats in the box with you.
I did indeed.
You had six cats representing the six friends.
Yeah, and there was a sort of seventh kind of bleach blonde Gunther-esque cat who showed up every so often, very briefly, but really made a bit of a splash whenever he was around. And
I
became very fond of him.
The wonderful thing about Gunther is we only expected him to show up for one experiment, but he did that experiment so well that we just kept coming up with more experiments for him to do.
Yeah, he felt like one of the gang in a way.
Very much so. And of course, occasionally we would bring in a cat, a sort of Janice cat, very loud, very nasal meowing from that cat.
Sometimes, and then some celebrity cats.
Occasionally some famous cats. Yeah, Grumpy Cat came in and did a few experiments.
Yeah, huge. Really good moment. I attempted to give Grumpy Cat a stroke, but my hands had both kind of... I lost movement in my hands by that point.
That's
so
right, yes.
Because I was lying on one of my
arms.
And the other one
wasn't experiment based.
Oh, no, my left hand had fallen asleep because I was lying on it. My right hand was paralyzed for a couple of days just due to one of the potions.
Okay, well, sure.
I think what you've established, though, is... No, obviously you're a full grown male, or at least you were before the experiment.
Slightly stooped now.
There's a few parts of your body that you wouldn't describe as fully grown anymore. But that's neither here nor there. But it does prove that you were able to have a fairly successful 30 days. Imagine if you had a child, a toddler of sort of three or four who got along with the cat, you could pop them into the box. Get them started early. I mean, I would say it's almost the equivalent of a sort of biology, chemistry, GCSE. If you spent 30 days in a box with some cats while they dripped things into your eyes and into your nose, I think you've pretty much learnt science there, haven't you?
Yeah, you've pretty much learnt science there, haven't you, is really the ethos of CatLab 94. And that is what we are saying to the Sound Deals listener. If you order this product, you get 6 cats of your own in a small cardboard laboratory. Yeah. And you get to support medical science, you know, much in the way that, you know, people can mine Bitcoin collectively around the world and their collective efforts go into finding the next one in a way that's really useful and in no way strange and damaging to the global economy. No. This is an incredibly positive way to, you know, push the boundaries of medical science as we understand it.
Yes. And you know, the good thing about it is people think, well, is there a lot of admin, a lot of write-ups, a lot of paperwork? No, all of the results that are found are taken, are drawn from the box itself and sent to our labs where they're processed. So we leave you to have all the fun, or your cats to have all the fun, and we do all the processing. You know, like when your computer has an error and it brings up that little message, would you like to report this back to the Microsoft team? We've dispensed with that question. By buying the box, you are signing an agreement for any data we get from either the box or any of the surroundings of wherever you place the box, normally in your house. Any of that data is ours, and we will process it so you don't have to. It's a good system.
I love it.
It's the finest of systems. Matthew, can you tell us what the future holds for the world of cat labs? Is there a cat lab 95, or dare I say 96, in the works?
Well, let's not walk before we can crawl here. Yes, there's certainly there's been murmurings because, of course, 1995, very, very big year for the Tory party, John Major. I think that's maybe how we'd play it. You know, we'd have the members of the Tory cabinet. Possibly you've got a Major, you've got a Heseltine, you know, I feel like this is the way we do it, rather than, you know, the TV show Friends. It's just a matter of finding the reference that sings. I think that's what we're always looking for. And when we came up with the idea of the Friends series 1 cast, we thought it's got to be that. You know, are we going to lose some friends if we make it a sort of Tory themed science lab for cats? But then I guess we've lost some friends anyway by making a lot of people saying, when is a Dog Lab 91 going to come out? And we said, well, listen, could we get an exclusive
on the podcast, Matthew? I mean that's the question on both of Anne and I's lips.
Well, let's just say 1991 was a big era for grunge. And yes, of course, there were bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and the Stone Temple Pilots topping the charts. And have I got a Dachshund that looks a bit like Kurt Cobain currently in a shoebox in my living room? That's for me to know, and for you, hopefully, to find out at our next big expo.
We wait with bated breath.
Smells like Teen Spirit. More like smells like a small, scared Dachshund.
Yes, that's not Teen Spirit you can smell. I can tell you that.
No. Thank you so much, Matthew. CatLab 94 is available now for the bargain price of £100. And I believe if you order it today, Matthew is also throwing in Schrodinger's CatLab, which is just an empty cardboard box.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Is it? Indeed. Yes. Yeah. It is, because otherwise we've got to keep it.
Oh, is it?
Down.
It is.
It is just an empty. Yeah.
Well, that was the first episode of Series 3 of Sound Deals, and it just feels so good to have spent some more time with you, Max, but it's time for me to get out of here.
Yes, of course. Sending good vibes to you and all of the outsiders, as I think of people now who go to that side. But it's great to be up. It's great to be back. And it's great to be up and running.
It sure is. And in fact, running is something you need to do pretty soon, because we've got some sales coming in, which means you need to start delivering.
And indeed, the bicycle that I constructed has, this is not uncommon. It has, it's broken, and there's not the immediate time for me to sort of fix it.
I was hoping it was one of those bicycles which looks like a treadmill and you kind of walk on it, but it cycles for some reason.
Oh, no. It's a sort of, it really more resembles a sort of penny farthing, I suppose, because the two wheels that I was able to find were of quite different sizes.
You had to find so they gave you the
just a piece of paper.
They gave you a piece of paper.
Yes, it basically had a small illustration of a bicycle of the kind a child might draw, and then just the words "good luck."
Right. So you sourced two wheels.
Yes, indeed. Of
different sizes.
Of very different sizes. Yes.
Whereabouts?
I without disclosing too much.
Of course.
What I've come to think of, what I call the front garden,
which is the
yard. Yes, exactly. Yeah. The scrap heap. Near the fire. Which is actually, despite the smell, very, very useful.
Okay.
And I've come to, now when I smell sort of burning rubber and various chemicals, I actually salivate because I know that that's where you go, you know, that's where you warm, that's where your food becomes a hot dinner. I found a large, I think it was, I mean, a kind of cog of some kind, and I spend it's enormous. It's about 8 or 9 feet tall. And I spend a lot of time filing down the edges of it because that does serve as the central wheel.
The central wheel.
Yes. Yeah.
Are there three wheels.
Yeah. All of different sizes. The way I think of it is, if you've got, you know, the more wheels you have, the greater the chance is that some of them will work.
Okay.
And as any unicyclist will tell you, you only need one wheel to have a functioning vehicle. So that's, you know, that's how I roll the dice.
Obviously, bicycle is called a bicycle because it's got two wheels. It's a bicycle.
Yeah.
So what would you say it's not quite ready yet, but once it is, what will it be?
Well, it's a kind of I think of it as a trunicycle because it has three wheels, but only one ever tends to work at one time. So it really is a question of kind of leaning forwards or backwards and making the most of the wheel that happens to be in play.
Right, at
that time. And basically, if it's the back wheel, you tend to try and place your bag of products near the front to kind of give you some forward motion. And if it's the front wheel, then again, so you don't overbalance, you put
for sure,
but
unfortunately, it's not working.
It's completely broken at the moment. Yes.
So you just have to strap on the. Oh, that. I mean, that just looks like two slabs of concrete.
Well, not slabs as so much as sandals, I think.
Sure.
Concrete sandals. But yes, no. My foot is bonded to these elements, which represent the floor of the warehouse, and just, you know,
do,
a reminder of my current gig in this gig economy that we all live in. So I will simply no need to put those on, so that's time saved. Then I grab my bag, and then I do finally grab the tri unicycle because I have to take it with me. It's part
of the contract.
It's a requirement of the delivery process. It doesn't need to be working, which again, you know, is a, you know, saving time there. And it is a real workout.
Are you allowed on public transport with that?
If you can get on, for sure. It's really just a two-stage challenge. On you get somehow, and then you really need to convince them that you are able to fund the journey. I'm not liquid at the moment. But that, you know, that it's entirely possible, you know, with supportive people nearby, it's possible to just sort of busk with bits of, you know, my performance work and stuff.
Max, if you ever need any help, so my ex-wife's mother, she's been giving me a little, she just says it's a little bit of money for my pocket.
Okay. So
if you need anything, I've got a little bit of money for my pocket.
And you
so
get that, would you call that, she's giving you pocket money?
Just a little bit of money for my pocket. And I'm getting that every week. So.
Okay, in the style of pocket money.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, hold on a minute. Is that, I think it's time for some, I mean, this is remarkable because we've, this is the first episode of the series, but we've already got some recalls.
I also didn't realize that was the sound for recalls, because I don't think that's ever happened before.
No. Very strange.
Well, I guess we better get into it.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
Software Wolf.
Unfortunately, we did not feed the Software Wolf, so it arrived not functioning. But we are recalling those that are still alive because they're extremely hungry and dangerous.
Yes, we've also heard reports that if you excite it too much, it becomes a hard werewolf, which we apologise for.
Competition disc.
The competition disc, the competitive vertebrae you pop in your back, proved a little bit too competitive for some, and by some I mean everyone.
Graveler.
Graveler.
Who needs an app to find out where the nearest gravel is? It turns out, nobody.
No, we are recalling it though because there are a number of, I'm going to say, sexually depraved people on that app.
Okay, so although they actually haven't complained, this is an act of our conscience, really.
Please, please do not open that app.
Do not.
Sound Deals is created by Max and Ivan. If you have a product you wish to sell, email sounddeals@maxandivan.com.